Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so just so our listeners know, we are talking with Radford Sechrist, longtime animator for DreamWorks and the creator of the Netflix animated series Kippo and the Age of Wonder Beasts, which returns for season 2 on June 12th. This is such a cool thing that you're going to call in and do a virtual talk with the students at George Washington University on Tuesday. How did you get hooked up with GW? What's the connection there?
Yeah, so I had been kind of teaching online storyboarding and classes for a few years, almost like 5-6 years. So DreamWorks came to me and was like, would you like to give these lectures at different colleges around? And I thought that'd be a lot of fun. I love any chance I get to kind of teach and talk about storyboarding and animation with students. I always think that's a fun time. So that's kind of where it came from, was from DreamWorks.
Cool. And what do you hope, what do you hope that the students will take from it, they'll follow in your footsteps and, become animators themselves, or, what's sort of the takeaway you hope for?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is when you're in school, you kind of don't know how these things get made, and how do you get from creating an idea to actually taking it out and getting involved with a studio. And I kind of just talk through my history, and I talk through how we made the show, Kippo, and the day-to-day, how do you work on a show once you sold it, the ins and outs of that type of thing.
Awesome. Now tell us about, is it pronounced Kippo, not Kippo?
It's Kippo, yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure I say that right in the on-air piece. Okay, so it's Kippo and the Age of Wonder Beasts. Tell our listeners, because I know season 1 just happened, I think, in January, and now season 2 is in June 12th.
Yeah.
In case they haven't seen it yet, give them the basic, premise here.
Yeah. So it's like the inspiration was like, it's kind of like Walking Dead, but instead of zombies, everything trying to kill you is adorable. So it is a post-apocalyptic show, but it's like a fun post-apocalyptic show where animals are mutated out of control and there's these fun like gangs of animals. So you come across this group of cats that talk and are like 6 feet tall and they wear plaid shirts and carry axes and are like lumberjacks. Or you'll come across a group of wolves that dress like Carl Sagan and are really into science. We actually got Jizza and Von Hoffman to play the wolves and they rap about the universe.
Nice.
So it's that kind of fun mix of post-apocalypse and just crazy, crazy animation fun.
That's awesome. Now, how is it that season 2 is coming so shortly after season 1? I mean, both are basically, is that like a coronavirus? Let's, release it sooner, sooner than we originally planned, or was that always the plan?
I think that was always the plan. We were kind of making them all together.
Gotcha. And how many episodes is it per season?
It's 10 episodes per season.
Awesome. Is there any teaser you want to give for, fans that watch season 1, where it left off and what they can look forward to heading into season 2?
Oh, man, let's see. There's a lot more fun kind of gangs of music they haven't seen. There's a music is kind of a tempo of the show, and there's a lot of really awesome songs this season to look forward to. The soundtrack's going to be amazing. Other than that, I don't want to give away any spoilers about the actual story.
That's totally fine. Hey, I want to know your backstory of, how did you actually fall in love with animation? Did you watch, Disney movies growing up or something?
So I drew a lot growing up, and I just remember I had a couple books. I had a couple of Disney books, and there were sketches in there of animators' drawings. There was one in particular. There was a Freddie Moore drawing of Donald Duck, and I remember just staring at the sketch and being like, man, I want to do that. And it never left me, I always kind of stuck with me, and I always drew cartoons.
That's awesome. So wait, set the scene for us. Where did you grow up? What year were you born? That sort of thing.
Yeah, I was born in 1981. I grew up in Orange County. I was kind of like a skate rat, skating around the city and drawing cartoons. It's funny because about 99 is when I graduated high school, and when I was heading off to college, I was going to go to an animation school. And it was right when Toy Story came out, and a lot of the 2D animators all got laid off. So I had met one of them, and he goes, "It's done, man. Animation's done. It's gone. Don't go to school for it. It's over." And it's funny because I ended up going to school for mechanical engineering and got my degree in that. And it wasn't until about my senior year I got published doing comic books and met some people who actually worked in animation and were still drawing. And I was like, wait, there's still work? You can still draw for a living? So after I graduated, I moved down to L.A. and just tried to get into animation.
Awesome. And then you said you did some comic book stuff. What were some of those comic books?
Yeah, I worked. So when I was in college, I was doing a weekly strip and daily illustrations. But it was more inspired by Calvin and Hobbes and newspaper strips. And because I knew that existed. So I'm like, well, maybe when I get out of school, I could do newspaper comic strips. Like, I don't know why I thought that'd be a great idea. those kind of went away. But my buddy was making a comic book anthology called Flight. And I just made my comic in comic book format, and we got published through Image and then Random House. And I did a lot of short form comics and anthology work.
Gotcha. And then, of course, you joined DreamWorks, I believe, in 2006, doing storyboard artist for Megamind, Kung Fu Panda 2, How to Train Your Dragon 2, and the list goes on. Give us a little insight of what it was like working there. I guess Zuckerberg was still running it then, but what was it like, working on, those are some classic franchises now.
it was a blast. When I was in engineering school, I was so passionate, I wanted to draw, And so the second I got the job, a lot of the people I worked with had gone to art school, and by the time they got in, they were almost burnt out on drawing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was staying all weekend and all night, and I'm like, do you have extra scenes? I'll do anything. I'm running around asking animators for tips and everyone was so happy to show me stuff, show me the ropes. So I was constantly pestering people, hey, can I watch you draw? And just trying to, I looked at it as sort of my art school at the time when I got there.
Gotcha. And then how do you actually make the leap from, being a storyboard artist for the, those are big movies, but you're a storyboard artist on that. So how do you make the leap to actually, creating and executive producing your own show? Connect that dot for us.
So I'd been pitching shows for 7 years, I think. I'd always been pitching ideas, pitching my comics and things. And I finally, after 7 years, I finally sold a movie, and it kind of got my foot in the door of being able to sell properties.
What was it?
It was called The Butter Thief. It was based on a comic I had done.
Okay.
It never got made, which is mostly the case. You sell a lot of properties, a lot of times they're in development. You never know if it's going to get made.
Sure.
But that kind of cracked open the door to be able to sell more properties. And Kipo was the one I was actually most excited about because it was a fresher, newer property. That other one I had made a long time ago, my taste had kind of changed since then,
Mm-hmm.
So when Kipo went, I was like, oh, man, this is amazing. And I think I had boarded a lot of scenes, so I definitely, it was nice. They paired me up with Bill Wolkoff, who had a lot of TV experience in writing scripts and, working in the writer's room. And he was an awesome person to kind of get paired up with and show me the ropes for television running, show running.
Cool. Now looking at the animation from, from the trailers and from season one, of Kipo, it looks almost like, forgive me if I'm not using the right phrase, but it's almost like that Spirited Away kind of look, more of that anime style, if that's right. How do you, what draws you to that more style as opposed to, you said you grew up drawing, Donald Duck, which I guess is more rounder edges and things, but this is more of a, a jagged edge. So what made you sort of get drawn to that?
You know, it's funny, like, when you look at all my early comic work, it looks like Donald Duck. It looks like Pogo. I used a brush I used to dip in ink, and it was very, like, roundy. And at some point, as I drew more and more and more, I think I was drawing on a placemat at a sushi restaurant in Burbank with a friend who animated, and he was showing me the way he drew when he animated on Road to El Dorado or something, where they all learned this different way of drawing, where it was that more scratchy, sharp kind of style. And I just kind of tried to mimic what he was doing, and the drawing came out looking really different and cool. And I was just like, that kind of looks cool. I should start drawing like that now. And I did.
Nice. That's great. Awesome. Well, you know, what sort of advice would you have for, you know, maybe some young folks that might tune in for the George Washington call? You know, what sort of advice are you going to share with them during the call?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things is a lot of people, if they're trying to sell their own show or they're trying to kind of break in, they tend to kind of follow what people have told them. So, like, someone will tell you, oh, no one will ever buy this kind of show, or, oh, they'll only buy it if you do this certain thing. And I would say those trends change so much that if you just kind of do the thing you're 100% passionate about, if mm-hmm. the trend, you never know, that trend might shift to the thing you're into, and then, boom, you've got the best version of it ready to sell.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, anything else you want to add before we hop off here? I also interviewed the folks over at GW. So between you and then the call that I had with them, I got plenty to work with here. But anything you want to say before we hop off?
Yeah, I think if you're coming to the lecture, get your questions ready. I'm happy to talk for all about Kipo and storyboarding and animation in general.
Awesome. Well, again, everybody, it's Tuesday. We'll put the link on the website so everyone can sign up. It's Tuesday with GW, and don't miss Kipo Season 2 on June 12th. Hey, thanks, Radford. You're great.
Cool. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Right.